to have the mundane life after that rebirth in whatever realm or existence she may be in. Then after that, we will also share merits and transfer merits to her and all those who can receive them. Okay, turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, then after that I will chant the Pali. Then we will together chant the Vandana, followed by the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good supreme doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is a time to listen to the doctrine. This is a time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta cakavalesu atra gacanta devato saddhamang monin rajasa sunantu sakamokkhalang dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandhata dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandhata Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandhata Namo atasu bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasu Namo atasu bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasu Namo atasu bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasu Ittipeso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vicca carana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavate Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehi pasiko opanayiko Pacatam veditat bhuvino hiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo dakyuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Triple Gem. Then we start our sharing. Buddhang pichemi. Dhammang pichemi. Sanghang pichemi. anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any question, you can do so now. We will open it up to all. Why nobody sit at the back there? At the back there, let me see. Oh, okay. Oh, today Hui Rong is not around. Oh, he just arrived. I know the recorder, no wonder. No wonder I was thinking how come Anne has the recorder. So anybody wants to report his or her meditation? Or ask any question related to meditation or Dhamma? Nobody. So what do you want to discuss tonight? Or shall we continue with the notes? We are at this Satipatthana, I think, notes, April, dated April. Yeah, April 6th, the lesson 5 of the Satipatthana note. For those who have brought the notes, you can turn to page 7. Then I will continue from there. Page 7, the subheading is, what is Sati? The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So why do you want to be aware or try to be aware? So this one by now, I think most of us are familiar. During one of the recorded Satipatthana workshop, I heard this question that they asked. Who is aware and aware of what? If you inquire this way, then you will get caught because your thought, awareness is a knowing. That's why you ask who is aware and aware of what. Very logical. But because most people's security or self-delusion is so strong, so how can they be aware? The thought always wants to be aware via verbalizing. That's why it's a focused attention. Focused attention means the thought wants to be aware. The thought is still active behind the awareness. So how can it be aware? The thought is trying to be silent, to be aware of what it wants to be aware. So the moment you want to be aware of that thing, you are no longer aware. So you understand this statement or not? Can follow this statement. The moment you want to be aware of something, you already not aware. Because the thought arise already, understand, active already. For you to know something, the aggregate of mind must arise, understand, either through perception, or through a feeling, or through a consciousness with its content. So that's the reason why the moment thought is active, you are no longer aware. You are actually lost in thought or preoccupied in that thought process. Then most living beings, before they are enlightened, they have delusion. And because of that delusion, they got their own views and opinion of things. So they will react to what they see, what they hear, what they think. So that reaction will cause duality to arise. The like and dislike, the pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So that's the reason why they cannot have equanimity, they cannot silence their mind, they cannot be in a state of awareness before the knowing. So that is where people get it all entangled up during meditation, because they fail to understand what sati is. So with that understanding, we move on. 5.3.3. Choiceless. Not making any choice or decision. We heard a lot about this word, even in the straight Vipassana tradition. they always talk about choiceless awareness. Yeah. And Krishnamurti also defined awareness as the silent, but he included the word silent, which they don't understand. The silent, choiceless observation of what is. What is the truth, the reality, the way things are, without any distortion when you want to be aware of it, or when the mind perceives it, the pure perception, the pure observation before the labeling, before the thought arises to label it, to give it a concept, or to use a word to describe that thing. So the word is not the thing. The verbalizing of it is the what they call distortion of it. If you see things as they are without verbalization, without any thought, without any conditioning, and then you see truth, you see reality, there is no word, no description of what the thing is. Thing is just the way it is, just like that, pure perception. Like a baby before the memory. Then you see things as they are. Then there is nothing to condition you, cloud you, or distort what you see. Then you see truth. Then you maintain the silence, you will start to understand how your mundane mind starts to create, start to give meaning, start to give what they call concept and idea to label that thing. Then to actually describe that thing, then you become like attached to it, entangled by it, because you give it meaning without understanding that they are all sankhara. And sankhara, by its characteristic, they are impermanent. That's why sabbe sankhara anicchang. Then if you hold on to it, grasp on to it, cling on to it, and want things your way, which is not nature's way, then suffering will be the result. That's why the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara dukkang, you will lead to suffering. You don't have the wisdom. Then ultimately, whether the conditioned world or the unconditioned, it is still anatta, non-self, empty. That's why the Buddha used sabbe dhamma anatta. He don't use the word sankhara anymore. Sankhara is definitely anatta, but dhamma. Dhamma means it includes both the mundane and the supramundane. Means all of conditioned things and the unconditioned. They are also empty, non-self. Not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and believe that it is an eternal entity that you can own, possess, and have. Mm. Or it is self. Mm. So this is the delusion part. So I will read on. Awareness is just silent. And then choiceless means what? You don't try to make a choice. There is no decision of what you are aware of. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see as yet. It is just the consciousness, just like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up, which means the consciousness just arises naturally. Can't you just be aware of the consciousness, the pure consciousness, before you input the content of consciousness, before you label them? The trouble with living beings is they are so fast, and via memory they already label it as flower, book, etc. because of their conditioning, conditioned thinking. That's why they cannot see. In order to see, you must have the ability to be silent, and you must have this sati and samadhi. That's why sati is awareness without the thought. Samadhi is the stability of it, the unwavering mind, the collected mind. So when there is sati and samadhi, your mind does not stir, does not waver. It can stay there silent and
understand what is going on. That's how you can see things as they are. Otherwise, this aggregate of mind, they will stir, they will arise very fast. The mind stir and come out very fast, and you cannot do anything about it. That's why the lay people who are still not enlightened, or they call the putujanas, their mind, they stir a lot, think a lot. They are very heedless throughout the day, most of the time. So that's why when you read J. Krishnamurti's quote, Sati is awareness. And what is awareness? J. Krishnamurti said awareness is the silent and choiceless awareness of what is. So the keywords are silent. Silent means no chattering, no thought, no labeling, no judgment, no reaction. So silent and choiceless observation means when you make that observation, it's just aware. There is no conditioning of mind to make a choice, to make a judgment, to make a reaction of what you are aware of. Then what is the reality before the knowing, before the labeling, that actual thing. So don't try to go and develop a duality to react to what you see or observe. That's why it's just a choiceless observation of the reality of what is. And what is means the isness of thing or the reality. Isness is suchness. That's why the Buddha is called the Tathagata, which is an expert in Tathata. And Tathata is suchness. So the choiceless observation of what is the observation of the isness of thing, or it's just the silent awareness of the reality within the moment. If you understand sati this way, then your mind will be different. It will be very beautiful. Okay, until here, any question or anybody want to add? You can follow on that. By now, I think it should be easier, a lot easier. Anybody cannot follow? So I presume you all can follow. Okay? Anybody wants to share their experience on what this awareness is during your meditation, in your daily life? Are you able to develop this? With awareness, what will happen to you? When you are aware, what will happen to your mind? When you are heedful, you will be very different, you know. That's why I want you to understand and has the ability to actually develop it. Then you can actually live it. Then it becomes a part of you. Otherwise, it's still theory, you understand? Yes, you pass the mic to... They cannot hear the... Here, because the recording, we can hear you, but without the mic, the vibration doesn't go in.
I find a walking meditation to be very good.
Yes.
Because it helps to build up the awareness. So immediately you walk and feel it. You can feel, move about and feel. And then you bring it to aware of the insight. That means then the breathing comes.
From your heart you're aware.
So it's just that for me it breaks off after that while and gone off.
So how do you build it up actually? That is more important. Very good, Yun Chan, thank you. So different people start differently. For Yun Chan, she prefers walking. As she walks, she finds it more relaxed and she can be aware of the movement. But like she said, this awareness she can't maintain. Your split second is gone. Initially, you will have this problem. Well, it hasn't stabilized. The reason why it's like that is because the thinking mind has been so conditioned. We have been living life, most of you have been living life this way for so long. Even before I really developed the ability to be mindful, most of the time throughout the day, I realized I was hardly 5 minutes a day mindful or aware. Split second, the thought is gone. Split second, the thought is gone. Then I start to reflect, contemplate. How come like that? And then I realize the teaching. I realize that these 5 mental hindrances are there, so strong. And the reason why they are there is because the spiritual faculty was not strong. That time I only developed the continuous mindfulness, anapanasati. So my sati was very strong. Yeah. But in the form of meditation only, it's very strong. And I had to hold on to this continuous mindfulness to the stage of apana samadhi for me to be very calm, very peaceful throughout the day. But that is not the sati that the Buddha talked about. The sati that the Buddha talked about is the day-to-day one. At the upacara samadhi level, you cannot go into apana. You cannot hold it as a conditioned state. So as I later on, I release it out. Then I was very fortunate indeed because I met this monk, Ajahn Yantra. So the moment I heard him explain the highest meditation, he said, the real meditation. So at first I thought he was talking about fantastic meditative mind state that you experience as the real meditation. I was so surprised though. He just made this statement. He said the highest meditation is it. We choose aware all action, all movement in the present moment. He said this is the highest meditation. Then actually initially I was very surprised. More like quite surprised by what he said. Then finally I recall what the Buddha actually taught under Satipatthana Sutta, Kayanupassana. Well, earlier on I have been having this question. Why did the Buddha insist on asking us to develop the daily mindfulness? And especially mindfulness of not only daily activity, you know, even answering nature's call and all those things. You know. Then, at that time, the mind couldn't understand because this one got nothing special, understand? It's not like concentration or samadhi. Or when you meditate and you focus and you develop continuous mindfulness, your mind become very calm, very peaceful, and you go into absorption. Then there's a lot of energy inside there. There are a lot of things is happening inside there. So all the while, I thought, that was it. No, but after that, my mind becomes so still, so calm. It's like it's enlightened. No, I was in the university at that time. Then later on, as I come out to work, then when I start to touch money, you know, when you come out, you graduate, then you receive your paycheck, then you start to see the what they call not great. You start to see the beauty of having money. Then you have this, what they call, intention to become successful financially. So then I realize it's like here. Start to move again. No? There is still this craving and desire to be successful. Then this mind suddenly wants to study law. No? Wants to already a civil engineer, but wants to study law and study other things. No? And want to pursue the career in a very, very determined way. No? Then suddenly I realized this was what the Buddha mentioned, no? The glass of water, you remember? If you don't stir it, the silt or the sediment, they will settle down. Then the water look clear, like you are already enlightened. But the moment you stir it, then this sediment, they will arise again. So the Buddha said this is anusaya, latent tendency that is within. When there is no condition, the mind does not stir, it doesn't come out. You are so peaceful. At that time, I remember when I was in continuous mindfulness and absorption, yeah, my anapanasati was very strong, very powerful. It comes naturally. There is a condition state. You know. So during that time, the anusaya or suppressed cannot arise at all, cannot even come near to the surface. It is all suppressed within that calm state. and the mind was so different. Like you already enlightened that time, the metta was very strong, very powerful. Yeah. But then after I came out to work, I do less formal meditation, because in the university, no need to work. You only study, and very easy to meditate because before I sleep, I meditate on. Then when I wake up, I also meditate on. Then every time I meditate like that, because I went into concentration very fast, absorption very fast, my mind throughout the day very peaceful, very calm. Then after I came out to work, I don't meditate so often. Then I realize I lose this concentration. Then at one time, I came to know that this mind still stir, has greed, has what they call great ambition and all this thing. Then I knew something was not right already. That's why later on I went and read up some books, such. Then I was very grateful to Reverend Mahinda and Sister Sumitra. They introduced me to Ajahn Yantra, I think the year 1987 or 88, I think. Then the moment I met him, I was full of faith, because I can feel his energy. His energy was very strong. And I wherever there is condition, I listen to his talk, I follow him. Then later on, I was quite close to him. Then he allowed me to fetch him around with the disciple and all those things. Then I went to Thailand to visit him. I went to Australia to visit him. Many places. Yeah. That time I traveled quite a lot to meet him. Then he also used to come here. Yeah. That 3-4 years was fantastic. Then I learned a lot of things from him. He teach me how to contemplate. He was the first monk that reminded me no less than 6 times. We choose contemplate until very, very clear. But he didn't tell me that was the 3 turning of the Vulnerable Truth, the 2nd turning. I didn't know about it. But I continued to do the reflection and contemplation. That's why later on, after I came to understand what this thing is, then later on when I came out to share, I remember the year 2004 when Yun Chan actually invited me. Then when we initially, we were do the sharing on general topics, the tsunami, I remember the year 2004, December. Then all the, what they call, typical general Dhamma. Then somebody suggested, why not we go into the teaching, the Dhamma? And then I say, can. Then I saw in the Vipassana Center there, the Buddha underneath the Bodhi tree and the 5, what they call, ascetic. There is a picture on the wall. Then I say, why not we start with this? I remember this was the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, because the Buddha started with this. He said, and actually, I haven't really read the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta before. I didn't really know what it was. I know it was the first sermon, but I didn't know the detail. So when I agree with Yun Chan, I ask her, you got any text or not? Or any written material on this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta? Oh, she very good. She took the Thai chanting book. She lent me a copy. Then I turned and I saw the Pali and the English translation. Then the moment I read, when it come to the 3 turning, I straight away understand. Very clearly, you know, the 3 turning. That's why I can link to the 3 types of wisdom, especially the 2nd turning on reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Oh. So that was how actually the true cultivator that goes through the right cultivation, because this 2nd turning wisdom is very important. It set the base. After you listen to the sutta, the 1st turning wisdom, then you need to reflect and contemplate deep into it so that you can develop the 2nd turning wisdom of Chintamayapanya. Then when Chintamayapanya falls into place, your mind is ready to receive truth. Then after that, any of the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd turning, the insight is very penetrative. You can just awaken because the condition is already there. So I was very lucky actually because of my past and the aspiration that I met him. Then he just used very simple English word. then I know how to develop the meditation. So this daily mindfulness, after he mentioned that, then I reflected, I recall about the glass with the sediment, then sati sampajana, then I straight away link and connect. Then I already knew already. I say, yeah, no wonder the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha used the word ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for reaching the right path, for the realization of nibbana, namely the cultivation of this four foundation of mindfulness. Then from there onward, I determined to cultivate this daily mindfulness. Then when I start, I realized I couldn't be even 5 minutes a day mindful without the concentration and the absorption. If I release to normal daily mindfulness, I realize when I go back to society in the midst of life, split second the mind is gone, just like what Yuan Chan described. Then I determine, because I remember the essential teaching, the five spiritual faculty. So I reflect, contemplate, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then I do the bowing. Then I determine to be mindful. At that time, I combine with what Master Xuan Hua taught me. I met Master Xuan Hua actually again in the year 1986, after the university days. 1986 was very strange. That year, he came to Malaysia and he actually take in disciple for those who wants to take refuge under him. And my whole family took refuge under him. That's why that year was very, very strange. And that was the year everything started to happen. 86 until 89. That 3 years. Actually, it's until 92. But after 89, I already understood what the Dhamma is. So 86 was a very strange year. When I took refuge, he asked me to bow. 10,000 bow within 3 months. Bow with mindfulness. Now open sijia monifor. I did it in less than 2 months, 1 month, I remember. Then after I did it, I realized my mindfulness improved a lot. And when I met Ajahn Yantra in about a year later or what, then when he mentioned this, then I determined to be mindful. Then I recall the bowing. So I combine the bowing and the daily mindfulness I do together. And within 2 weeks, the mindfulness came. And when it came, it's very funny. For the first time, I realized what sati was. All along, it was only theory. Until my mind suddenly one day just become silent and just aware. Body and mind as one. It just moved like that. Then no thought on. Last time, think a lot on. The thought keep on arising on. Then as I do something, the mind is thinking of other things. That's why you cannot be with the moment. You seldom with the moment. Then I determine to develop this ability to be with the moment more and more. That's why I start for my daily religious routine. Every morning when I wake up, and also before I sleep. Then in between, when you are alone at home, doing your own routine, it's easier to manage. Then after that, when I'm already very stable, then I move it out into my daily life. First, I develop mindfulness of how I move to my car, how I drive my car, then how I aware of my driving, then how I reach the office. Then after that, aware of every action and every movement, how I even arise from the seat, off the switch, the hand and the thing as one, how I pull it out, then how this hand move and open the door, then how it take whatever it wants, file or bank or what, then how it walk and how it moves to the office. Then everything is with mindfulness. Then as I, my office is double story actually. It was a two-story building. Then I was on the first floor. Then as I move, how I actually open the lock to my room door, fully aware, then how I actually push it in, how the hand move and how I walk and turn and how I sit and how I actually be aware of whatever I want to do. Every action, every movement. The phone ring also same. The consciousness fully aware that how this hand move and take the phone call and how through awareness you reply. So all this will develop. And within 2 weeks when all this settled down and stabilized, the mind became so different. Yeah. Then after that I realized that mindfulness remained with me, become a part of me. And throughout the day, most of the time, I am heedful and just aware. And during those moments, you really were very amazed by the mind that has transformed that way. This mind, with that clarity of awareness and mindfulness, because body and mind as one, there is no thought to interfere. Throughout the day, you are most of the time aware, silent. And because of that, I can see very clearly a lot of things that is within the phenomenal world. Yeah. Then the mental intention, how the mind actually through its conditioning, views and opinion, wants to react, wants to actually do all those habitual things that it has been doing for so long. Then it start to see its mental intention very clearly. Then it start to understand the 3 roots very clearly. Then I reflect and contemplate a lot that time. Yeah. Then the Dhamma keep on arising. Then the 5 daily contemplation also, I start to understand its significance and beauty and how it can counter the First Noble Truth reality. And so clear, everything was so clear. That's how after that, the penetrative insight just arise. Then with that, when I went to retreat or when I sit for meditation, I no need to train the mind. Straight away I sit, my mind still already silent already. Oh. And I no need to do those walking meditation like normal people do. I just walk, fully aware. And in a very relaxed manner. That's why mindfulness, you have to develop until it becomes a part of you. If it still slip off means you haven't stabilized it, you haven't developed it. And so when the Buddha talked about strive on with heedfulness, means he wants you to develop this heedfulness. Heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, to develop the wisdom. So first is to develop the mindfulness, then stabilize it until it becomes ever mindful. Following Dhammapada verse 23. That's why the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the born-free Nibbana. So this is what I can share with you. Huh? Yeah, you want to?
Yeah, I just heard from somebody. She was practicing. And then it became very, her mindfulness is very good.
Oh, good.
And until she feels it's her her awareness that knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Her awareness that she doesn't have to go around and see everything. Mm. And then she realized that there was nobody inside here.
Oh, that's very good. Sadhu. If she can realize that, it's very good. But more important is, after that, can you leave it? If you realize as a theory you cannot leave, then when things happen, you can check on. You still have attachment. You still cannot understand what is going on. We have the true penetrative understanding when you really insight into phenomena, when you awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature, anatta, especially anatta. That form and mind is very, very clear. That this 5 gear of form and mind, the 2 aspects of it, they are not real. They are not what you think you are. That one has to be very, very stable and penetrative. Until you're very clear that he know me, he know you. Not only as a theory, you know, as a reality, you know, as you live life. You know, and you use this with clear understanding on that there is nobody inside. So a lot of people thought they already understood. They already have the wisdom. But as they move into life, then they will come to realize it is not what they think. So need to check that part. That part is very important. Because when you are under retreat condition, very correct, even daily life, because you cultivate a lot in the retreat condition, then daily life you maybe most of the time are not with society. Is that person working? See, it's a big difference. Because during that time I was still working, and I was working as a civil engineer. I was in charge of a lot of major projects at that time. Then after I developed the understanding, I still want to come out and test. That's why I resigned from a very lucrative super skill semi-government post. I was super skill F. After G is F. Then I decide, because they were conditioned, to come out, resign. I gave up the very secure and very lucrative job. Then I joined the private sector, because my classmate who helped me when I was in the university, second year. Then that time, I make an aspiration to help him if there is condition. Then the condition happened. Then that year, 1989, because I was ready and I wanted to test myself. So I resigned, then I joined him. I say I will come and join you. He was so surprised. He said, I cannot pay you. No. He know I was having a very good pay. I said, you don't worry. If I want to join you, means I will join you. You just pay me what you can afford to pay. Yeah, that time after recession, you remember? 86, 87, 88. And then 89 was about to recover. Yes, I joined him in January 1989. So that time, he was just about to recover, but still in a recession. So he got a very big government consulting job, highway. He got nobody to do. He need a senior person who has the understanding. So I say, that one, no problem, I can do, because technically I'm very good. My design, everything is very good. So I joined him. Then when I joined him, that time was to test this nature. So this formed my mind as it come out. Because when I was in a, what they call, statutory government, the routine I has already actually standardized until I got not much thing to do. Even though the workload was tremendous. Like they say, it's a madhouse. 10 engineers also cannot finish the work. But I was able to run it, the whole thing, with one assistant, I think. But I got a lot of TA, technical assistant, and technician, and junior tech, all things. I got 800 over staff under me. I gave up that job because it become like very easy to do, like a routine to me. Then when I came out and joined the private sector, because after I joined him, this consulting firm became very famous. And we were given a lot of very, very big job, very major job. That's why I say I reached the pinnacle of my career. I even represent the company and go to do presentation at the Prime Minister Department and all those things. Then all the major big privatization involving famous architect, a lot of famous architect, he just Kasturi and all things. We were working together with them. Then all the major very established and famous architect in KL, because all those clients that hired us, like Sierra Mas and all those listed company, they have very famous architect. So because I was involved in all those projects, even like Hotel Istana, the 5-star hotel, then a lot of these mega infrastructure projects, Sierra Mas and all those things. So because of that, at that time, when I joined, there was so much thing to learn, to do. Because I have actually stopped doing design since I graduated. So it took me a while to pick it up. But I picked it up very fast. Then after I joined, I realized this mind was so different. this mind cannot remember thing already, because that mind became like that. When it starts to read document, the nature tell you, you want to suffer, you go and read. You want to suffer, you go and remember. Then, like, every moment of perception, you can feel the very fine suffering itself. Every moment of knowing is suffering. So at one time, I really cannot read. I just leave the document on the table. But because I was so experienced, I don't really need to read. So I just have to take down certain important information and dates, and I record it on a diary. Then when I go for meeting, because through my experience, I only need this data when I refer them. Apart from that, I don't need, I can answer just there and then. So because of that, when I came out to do all this new career and test, I realized this mind is very different. Very, very different. That's why I have to go through all these tests. Then initially, I still remember the first month when I came out, because it was so peaceful, so calm, and so still for so long already. After I joined the private sector, a lot of things were new. I had to read up again. Then when I start to use this brain, I realize the sankhara, it starts to come again. Starts to come again. But very funny, no matter how it comes, that very fine suffering you can feel, you will know. Then you will know how to relax, silent, and just don't do anything. Then I realize this sankhara, slowly, 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 slowly. Slow down. Then after that, within less than 5 minutes, it becomes still again. Oh. Then I understand what this mundane mind is all about. Then I understand very clearly how that true mind is very different. Then not long after that, I think within 9 months, the whole lot of the mundane mind collapsed. Yeah. Oh, after the mundane mind collapsed, very easy already. Then I can walk again. I can become like a normal person again. It's just like the Mahayana teaching. Stage one is Kan San, Si San. Then stage two, Kan San, Bu Si San. That time you cannot really work on. A lot of things, your nature, you don't want to get involved with it. Because you know this is suffering. A lot of suffering. Every moment of knowing is suffering. Every moment of perception and feeling is suffering. Every moment of arising of sankhara, even the thought process is suffering. That's why the mind, no, it's not the pain, the very fine suffering, that movement of that mind, the arising of that mind, even the moment of perception. I want to know something. That suffering inside is so fine, but it is so sensitive. If I tell you, you want to suffer, you go and do all these things. You go and do all these things. Then the mind, after that, it cannot arise on all. There's no meaning. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Arise, suffering. Don't arise, peaceful. But you have to live life. You cannot always silent and don't do anything. That's why I came out to test. I go through all this. But it was very beautiful. There was no like anxiety or fear or what. Wow, how to work, man, like that. This thing, suddenly the brain there like locked. Cannot move. Cannot even think. They cannot remember thing one. Because this one has become non-grasping now. Even before the mundane mind collapse, it has gone through cessation when it was at Cameron there. Momentary cessation. That one was earlier, much earlier. Then after that, as I move through this phase, it's very strange. When I attend meeting and all those things, I can just sit there because, you know, like Hotel Istana, all those things, very high level meeting. All the very famous consultant clients and even the contractor was YTL. Oh, they were very fierce with their claim and all those things. Then the architect was Zainal. I think Dr. Zainal, I don't know what. Martil's brother-in-law. Siti Hasma's brother. Then his partner was Alvin, I think, the Chinese fellow. The firm was a very big one. Then they got this very experienced architect. So I remember the first time I went and take over the project to attend the meeting. First day, the architect was very sarcastic. I went there early purposely. The first time I attend the meeting, I want to make sure I'm early. Then I went there. Then nobody there yet. Then I asked around. They told me the meeting room upstairs. So I went upstairs. Then when I opened the door, I saw two guys sitting like on the chairman seat there. Actually, one of them is the architect. The other one is the client. And I didn't know. No. Then I asked, is this the place where the Hotel Istana meeting is? He said, yes. Who are you? He said, I say, I'm Mr. Teo from Kamas Parker. The moment I mentioned my company's name, you know what he said? No? Another new one. You're nobody there to go for meeting. Kena 11, right? Even my classmate, who is a partner, also did not go for meeting. Then he said, another new one. So I just smiled. I said, yeah, another new one. So I just sat down. But later on, when the meeting started, the architect got a shock. Then he realized this new one is a different one. Because during that time, this architect, they got a lot of things that they have not done, but they always blame the contractor and the other consultant. But because I'm very familiar with the contract, actually, I spent some time looking through the file, although my brain was like that at that time. But I have all the information that I knew. Then when I attend the meeting, so when the topic related to us was brought up, actually, I was sitting at the back there with the other consultant. So initially, this consultant, they didn't know who I am also, because I was so new. So they thought I was sleeping. Well, I can sit on a chair with this cross-legged on. Then I just silent. I didn't even move. Then they thought I was sleeping. Then one of them talked to the other consultant. He said, Theo is going to have it. His turn is coming. The minute's coming. Actually, I heard all these things. Then I continued to meditate and silent. Then suddenly, the architect, when he reached my item, said, very loud. Then I just opened my eyes. I said, yes. What have you got to say? He said, your thing are still outstanding. I said, what thing is outstanding? I said. Then the architect said, it's all minuted in a minute. I said, yeah, I checked with my office already. I said, my office is still waiting for your architecture amendment drawing. Because you did all this amendment and you haven't come out with your drawing. So without the architect drawing, I cannot come out with my structural drawing. Well, you're very angry. You know? He said, you new fellow, you don't simply say things in the meeting. He said, what you mean by no drawing? He said, you wait. He asked the secretary to make a phone call back to the office. Then after that, he answered the call. He very shy. He turned down already. He said, okay, I checked the office already. Actually, it's nothing, is it? The drawing is on the way, is it? Will be delivered to your office latest by tomorrow afternoon, is it? Because he tell them to rush it. I say, if that is the case, then I can give you the next day, is it? I only need one day. Oh, then the client look at the architect. Hey, told the architect, hey, you better buck up. I say, this is a new one, not the old one. Actually, he has been sitting on the thing. Where his office, not enough people. Not enough manpower. But they got too many projects. So that was one of the things. But there were other projects. And they were all very, very high level. But despite that thing, this mind that go through that transformation actually can still handle and understand. And it was so beautiful. But after that Monday, my collapse, I returned back to normal. All that time, very good. Can't sun, use the sun, all the time can echo and flow. Right? Then everything becomes so beautiful. Then the contractor also, they like me. Then the client like me like anything. Then all the project, you tell my partner, I say, hey, you put Teo on the project, this project is yours. So he got so many projects at that time. So after I went there, I joined him for 7 years, I think. He last time never pay bonus or no, cut pay. But the moment I went there, he gave very good bonus. Then he increased my salary every 6 months. He very scared I resign or go somewhere else. He asked the Malay partner to come and talk to me. He said, Tio, you don't worry. you're special. Every 6 months we review yourself. Well, he know they underpay me because that time when I was on the super scale, my salary already very high. But because private sector recession, so first time my salary was higher than private sector. So because of that, you have to come out to test into society itself, then to live, then to really sincerely see within whether this defilement has been rooted out or not. You cannot lie. Understand? That form and mind will know one, because the awareness is so clear. If there is still delusion, it will know one. If it still stir and have fear and all those worry and anxiety, it will know one. That's why the real transformation is different. That's why the Buddha said it is pacetang. The Dhamma is pacetang, can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. And the form and mind that realize it through the cessation. If you don't go through the cessation, you can say you throughout the day mindful or whatever, then you understand there is nobody inside there, non-self. It is still not the real one. You must go through the cessation. A cessation means complete cessation of form and mind, even the pure awareness, the consciousness, cease. Nothing inside there. Then you realize that nature, that divine, eternal nature within. And that one is the unconditioned. You cannot describe, you cannot talk about, because there is no mind inside there. But you are not dead. But the 5 degrees of form and mind completely cease. No heartbeat, nothing. But you are not dead. The 5 degrees of form and mind, after the cessation, will come back. When it comes back, it understands exactly how this consciousness comes back. How the 3 areas of consciousness, from there, the center, it disperses. Then how the first, I call it the dynamo, start the brain, come back. Then you become fully conscious up there. Then I realize this consciousness and that nature is so close. When this one returns, up there, completely silent, nothing, no activity at all, no movement at all. The whole thing is still. The brain is still. Understand? That is the difference. It's not you don't talk. That one is still not cessation. The real cessation, the brain also still. The consciousness all return. And it return and it cease within, through the gateway. Go to the oneness. That divine nature, the true nature. You can call it the Buddha nature or the oneness nature. Oh, there is no name one, no word one. Cannot describe one. If you have not gone through this cessation, the real wisdom is not there. Penetrative one. But if you have gone through one moment of cessation, which is the sainthood way, then also not bad. They will come to know what anatta at the sakayaditi level, non-self level. Means the first 3 fetters, the sotapan or first stage of sainthood, they will sever them. Sakayaditi, self-delusion, they will sever. Self-delusion means they know this 5 degrees of form and mind is not them. With one moment of cessation, they will know. Because once the mind sees, then it arises again, the next consciousness. When it arises again, it has that penetrative wisdom already. It knows what that nature is, but not stable. It's just one moment of cessation. But it's already good enough. Because that self-delusion no more. Then it realizes no one die, nothing die. He know you, he know me. But not really stable until you can come and explain to people, share with people and do all those things. That being itself understand. That's why it's not fear. You got no more fear of death and all those things. When people talk about right and ritual, you die already, how. He not deluded anymore. That's why the first 3 factors, the faith in the triple gem, unshakable. Then right and ritual, you cannot lie to them already. You cannot deceive them anymore already. Then the self-delusion no more. It knows very clearly this form of mind is not them. Yeah. This tree straight away break. Pass the mic.
Ratio, when you talk about cessation of the form and mind and the five aggregate, what about those people who probably don't have any dharma at all and experience out of body experience? Isn't that cessation?
No, that is not cessation. That is not cessation. That one, the consciousness come out on the sana. Out of body, you are that thing. Out of body experience can happen in two ways. One is the astral body come out, which most of the time is like that. Those who go into psychic field, energy field, they can meditate until the astral body come out. Because astral body is one of the bodies within your consciousness. Actually, certain teaching, I think is, I forgot what teaching already. One of my teachers told me, he read about this teaching before, that described the seven bodies. Astral body is the second one. You see, you have the first one, which is the feeling body. They call it the etheric body. From the word ether, etheric body. So this one, when you meditate, when you silence everything, you can feel one. It's like an energy field enveloping your whole body. Then this one can expand on and contract one, depend on how calm your mind state is, how deep your concentration is. Then they can play with this. Then the other one is the astral body that can go into astral traveling one, that can go into the astral world. And this is the one those have psychic ability. They say they go to hell, they go to heaven, they visit here, visit there. This is the mind they use, astral mind. Then after that, you have the lower mind, which is the mundane mind you use for living. Then after this one collapses, you have the higher mind, the supramundane mind. Then after that, you have another mind. They call it the personality, antakarana. This one is like your awareness, not that one. This one is you can go in and be with the nature. Then you can come up and be with the either astral mind or lower mind or higher mind. This one is the one that it moves on the sana. It can travel in and out on the sana. Well, this is the sati, actually. When the lower mind and the higher mind sees, then this sati awareness, it goes in on the sana. That's why it can actually tap. Then if it go into psychic field, then it will tap the etheric body and the astral body. Then after that, they have another one. I don't know what they call it already. I forgot already. They are supposed to be seven, but not important. This one is just another description of what this thing is. But when you develop the understanding through the Buddha Dhamma, you will come to understand all this one, although they use word to describe and all this thing. Then as you go through this cessation, you will understand very clearly what this nature is all about, what this form of mind is all about. Because before the cessation, this five aggregate of form and mind, they are very active. Then it is the awareness that can connect you back. Then when you connect back, when you have this ability to silence, then when this pure awareness, what they call meditative mind, the silent mind, is able to actually allow all the energy to melt inside, then this pure energy will open up your internal chakra. Then it will transform. Then this vibration becomes so fine. But this one only the Bodhisattva do. It becomes so fine, but this one is not from the thought one. That's why the last support is trust. So from trust, you silence everything, then it will go in. It will melt inside. Then it becomes pure energy. Then this pure energy inside will open up all the internal chakra. It's not through the thought one. The thought one is tempering through external. They focus, concentrate. That's why Tan Tien also is external thought, using the thought to actually develop the energy center, to move it. But this one is all actually tempering. You try to actually go in from outside. It's not from the pure energy. So when the mind is not enlightened yet, it has yin and yang. That's why this energy is not pure energy. That's why it can bring about what they call psychic deviation. Understand? No? That's why sometimes the yin yang not balanced, the meditator can encounter a lot of heat. Then all of a sudden, they can also encounter a situation where they have a lot of yin energy, very cold, chilling energy. Yang energy is very hot one. Then they also actually develop a lot of psychic energy field, because this one can release what they call the earthly energy. Where all these chakras got energy centers. That's why if you play with energy field, then the psychic will bring you to the energy field. Then all this mara will come and disturb you. Then the Surangama Sutta, the 50 divine samadhi, they will keep on manifesting. Then if you are deluded, you will get trapped. So that's why energy field, if you are not familiar, you have to be very careful. Yeah. Don't get involved and don't play with it. Even if you got reliable teacher also, you ask yourself, what is it that you want in life? Is it the psychic or just the Dhamma to give rise to the wisdom so that your mind can liberate and free? Yeah. That's why clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose is very important. Understand? You are here to develop this meditation, not to go into all this psychic field and like believing that you can become very powerful with all this special ability and all these things. Okay? So the mind depends. Out of body experience doesn't mean cessation. Cessation is completely different. But during the death process, you will go through a moment of it. These three areas of consciousness, last time when I came out, I realized these three areas of consciousness, all they come back into one. Then the craving force that bind this consciousness together cease. And then this random of consciousness came out. That's why I came to know. Yeah. But that is not real cessation. It's just that moment.
But the reason why I asked was because, Brother, just now you mentioned that if your form and mind actually cease,
yes,
there should not be any fear, there should not be any concept or anything. Okay. It's basically just that. Right?
You cannot
but
describe
why,
it.
Why I asked you the question was because many years ago, I think, Brother, you are aware of that.
Yeah, you came
that
out.
That I have a lot of this out-of-body experience. So that sort of triggers something. That's why I asked you that question, because if I remember very well, when I have the out-of-body experience, it is always with an element of fear.
Fear, very strong fear.
And not only that, but I am very very aware of the fact that I'm there and I'm here.
Yeah, correct. Your physical is down there.
Yeah.
The mind. This one is the astral mind. Come on.
I mean, during that, I don't know anything about
You cannot understand. Yeah. That one is part of your subconscious. The astral mind is part of your subconscious.
So my question is, just for understanding,
Why
is it, I mean, at that time, that I have so many of all this out-of-body experience, but yet at the same time, I'm able to, God knows, I ask for Jesus Christ, I ask for everything. And then when the body goes back to the physical body, it goes quite forcefully. It goes like that kind of thing, and then you'll be like momentarily paralyzed for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds. Like
seconds.
That. Yeah.
And then you can only move your eyes the moment.
Correct.
And then you realize that, oh, okay, I'm still here.
Yeah.
But when you are sitting watching your physical body, I don't know whether
it's totally
how death is or not. I don't know. I'm just saying this out of.
Okay, can I ask you another question? Were you under any alcohol or whatever at that time?
Not all the time. I know that I drank quite a fair bit.
Because people,
but not all the time, bro,
people under the influence of drug and alcohol, they call it hallucination. Understand? Hallucination sometimes can be the astral mind coming out. Understand? they hallucinate, then this one come out. Then they have this out-of-body experience, all this thing. They're under the influence of drug, or what they call alcohol, your consciousness altered, understand that? Actually, you go into the unconscious and the subconscious. Then you got a lot of this, what they call, very funny sankara going on, like what you went through, where your life is so complicated at that time.
Not complicated, but a lot of stuff going on.
Means a lot of what they call worldly thing, understand? Then combination of what type of lifestyle you are going through, one another. That's why most of the time, I remember you even told me how you get home, also you don't know, understand? Because during that time, not sober anymore, but somehow she know how to go home. But the moment she reached her flat, then all this like the spirit press against the body, quite chaksan or what, and she experienced them all. So these are what they call possible happenings when the mind is under the influence of, sometimes it's because of medication or alcohol or drugs or whatever. And sometimes it's because of depression. Then you can also go into that state. Then you like force yourself to go into what they call the sedative mind state. Sometimes they take too much of this tranquilizer or what they call sleeping pill. Then they reach the threshold where the mind cannot take it. The body cannot take it, understand? There are a lot of chemical things is happening inside. So even psychiatry now, they can tell you, when you got chemical imbalance, you will enter depression. You will have fear. You will have a lot of those negative tendency of a depressed person. Because all this happened due to the release of certain hormone, understand? And the hormone caused the chemical imbalance in your brain. So that's why nowadays, the psychiatrists, they give this type of medication to actually boost up that hormone. Then that patient stabilizes, but they become dependent. It's a drug. Without that, you become worse. Then you have to continuously take it. So I came across a lot of these depressed people. And I told them, you got two choices. You depend on the medication, then you end up become addicted. You have to find your way out. Very determined and not easy. The other way is to develop understanding through wisdom. Of course, I cannot tell them it's the Dhamma, because they are non-Buddhists, some of them. So those who are Buddhists, easy. I say, when you understand what is going on, it's only your thought, nothing else. Then you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, then how you have to live your life, then it will develop the what they call appropriate causes and conditions for you to turn around. Then you ask for forgiveness. Then you invoke the power of merits. You do all this wholesomeness, do all this cultivation, keep your precept. Then you invoke the power of wholesomeness. Then from there, you wish or aspire for causes and conditions for you to return to normal state of mind, normal state of life, so that you can actually live the happy life again, the good life as a normal human being again. So you do all this, you will turn around, and many of them turn around. And sometimes the people they want to help, actually they already so depressed and so badly hit, you can't even talk to them. There is no way you can approach them also, because they are not in the state, conscious state to listen to you. They already like chemically conditioned until in deep depression already. Cannot talk already. Even the loved one go near also, they run, they hide. Like Cheng Hun's case, the daughter-in-law and all. Then there's also another one, the sister, accountant. I think Sri Andi or know him, also stay in Subang. Accountant, very qualified. then that one, the sister or the mother-in-law or the parent or the brother and sister very close have to help on their behalf, ask for forgiveness. Then do wholesomeness in their name. Then keep precept, cultivate, develop the what they call meritorious action, means listening to Dhamma, straightening your view, then cultivate the spiritual faculty, keep your precept, then pay respect, make offering, generosity, everything. Then invoke the power of wholesomeness, merits, for there to be causes similar, for them to turn around, for them to return to normal state of mind, so that they can become normal again. So when they do this continuously for a few months, 2-3 months, it will turn around. Yeah. Then they will start to see the response, and they really turn around. Yeah. And these are true real life situation and cases. So you need to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, then you know how to go about turning it around.
Right, yeah. The reason also why I brought this one up was because just not too long ago, I have one of these out-of-body experience.
Oh, recently?
Very recently.
Yeah.
But it's only for a very short time. Let me just share this. No alcohol.
This one definitely. last 2-3 years, definitely no alcohol.
No alcohol.
Even smoking also give up. That time there is very strong.
No, nothing already.
Very good.
I was probably very tired, I think.
Yeah.
And I went to bed, and then quite immediately, I have a sensation of heaviness in my body.
Yeah.
And then I was like in the dream stage at that time. But I can't remember what was the dream
about.
Yeah. There was a little bit of element of fear in there.
Yeah.
But the thing was that I was quite surprised that I actually came out for a while. And I could actually sense the fear for just that
split second,
right? And then I realized, I said, okay. Fear of what?
Oh, very good.
And then this fear went real sky high.
Oh,
and it's like right a roller coaster. It goes. And I kind of like just, I don't know how to explain this. I know fear, right? But I'm not fearful.
Yeah.
Does that explain anything to
you? God, I understand what
that means. And I stayed there, and then and after a while, it actually just dissipated.
Very good.
And I was still outside.
Yeah.
I don't know how long this has been.
Yeah.
And then it suddenly, when I came back conscious.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what was that all about? And honestly, I cannot remember what the dream was about.
I know.
I'm not sure whether it is a dream. It could have been a dream.
Yeah, I explained to you.
Yeah, okay. I was already in bed.
She was very tired.
But I was very tired.
This one can happen, sadhu. So now I explain to you. Because when you are in that state, especially when you are very tired, this subconscious mind can come out. Then when it come out, that one is the mundane mind, understand? The subconscious and these are the mundane mind. So when it come out, because you have practiced and cultivated before, you have awareness. Then the awareness came, the second aspect of you. It start to inquire. Fear of what? Who fear? What fear? That's why you got two personality inside there. One is that fear still inside the subconscious. You can feel it. But the other side, there is no fear. But that one that inquire, fear of what? Who fear? What fear? That nature can understand. No fear. Understand? So that's why when you meditate, when you have awareness, when you dream, you can be in the dream with the awareness. And you understand what is going on. But last time when it came to test me during the early days, I think I shared with you all before that. I also went into this meditative state, but I was not tired on. I was fully aware, but I was fully relaxed. My mind can relax very well on. Relax until so relaxed, then this subconscious thing came out. Yeah. That actually is a test. It's a test. Then when it came out, you're fully aware. The first time I remember, all of a sudden, for no reason, this mind shot up very fast, you know, like a rocket, to a very high altitude. You know. Then, like a rocket again, it shoot down. You know. I'm in the subconscious dream state. And you know what happened? At the moment it came down, initially there was this fear. You know, understand now. But very strange, you know, because that time my wisdom and understanding was very clear, you know, and straight away this wisdom and understanding take over, you know, understand now. Then there is no fear of death, you know. Fear is the subconscious and the unconscious, the mundane mind. Then that nature just silent, you know, and be with the thing, you know. Then you know what happened. Nothing die, no one die. You understand? Well, that one is not me, you know. That it hit the ground, it went straight in. Then it emerged like a light, like victorious. That was the first test. Then the second one is, later on, there's another one. I was in a cave. Then there was this corrosive, like acid, very corrosive, acidic water, warmer water. You go in, should die on. Yeah, you have seen other. But these are not scared one. But don't try to be a hero. Sometimes not dream, you go and walk so you get in the trouble. There is no fear or no. Then I just walk. In that state I walk. I went in. Then I realize all these are illusion. Others are created by mind to test you. That's how you will be tested in many ways. But this type of test is very good. Yeah, this one is not serious. Later on, the real test, the ultimate one, my mother, heart attack, went into ICU. My son, compound fracture, happened simultaneously. Ah, that is the real test. Whether you still got attachment or not. Whether you still know how to handle the situation. Oh, beautiful. When it happened. The mind was so different. It understood clearly what that form of mind is all about. There is no fear, nothing at all. I remember my wife phoned me. I was in KL. And I said, don't worry, take him to see my classmate. I will come and join you there. Then my mother's case was the same. I sent her to the hospital. Admitted her then. Then the moment I reflect and contemplate that this is a test, nothing else, immediately it turned around. Then my son, that same night, did the operation, came out, recovered, and my mother also turned around, recovered. Yeah. You remember Lai's case? She was tested. The brother died 34 years old in Hong Kong. Eat the know what? Food poisoning, I think. Then she told me what, no, in the email. If I know this is a test, I would not want to have the test. I said, it's not for you to be deciding whether you want or you don't want. Because when the time comes, the test will come. How it comes, nobody knows. Your nature will arrange it. So the cultivation is, in a way, very beautiful, very unique, but it also has its challenges. But you will understand and you will go through it very beautifully, right? Because not so real, not what you think. This one is just karmically conditional. Every form of mind is just conditionalizing aggregate. No reality. He know you, he know me. This is the Heart Sutta say, no one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. Even nobody enlightened. No, nothing to attain. Then no four noble truth also. In the ultimate truth is like that. But in the conventional world, there is such thing as an enlightened being. You can say that five aggregate or four am I, is enlightened. But this one is not me, you understand? You understand? That's why it's very different. That's why the Buddha said, yeah, Arahan, and all things. But there is the form and mind, that segmented line of that Arahan, understand? Well, after it connect, it go through the enlightenment phase, then that form and mind no longer deluded. no more suffering. That one is an enlightened being. That one is an arahant. But that one is not hidden at all. That's why don't try to be an arahant. You try to be an arahant, you can never be an arahant. Because that mundane mind that cling and grasps and wants to be enlightened is still an egoic mind. The craving is still there. It cannot cease. When it cannot cease, Nibbana cannot be realized. Enlightenment in the here and now cannot be realized. So, hopefully, you all can slowly develop the understanding. But you don't worry. When the time comes, when you go through those sensations, you will understand. Then you will understand what I try to explain to you. Before, they're very difficult. You're using the thought, understand? You're using the mundane mind to try to actually understand. Because this thing is beyond thought, beyond mind. Cannot be understood by the thinking mind. So, you have to go through that phase. After you have gone through, then the form of mind that realize that sensation will understand completely what the thing is. That's why it can only be realized by the wise, each for himself. Nobody else. Not through the thought, not through the mundane mind. Not through the thinking mind. Yeah. Oh, okay. We're almost time, huh? Okay, we need to share merits and transfer merits, to with Christina's mother, Okay, we all recall to mind, all of our wholesomeness that we have done over the last 2 hour plus, We have developed the puja, we have taken refuge, renew our precept, pay homage to the Triple Gem. Then we have meditated. We have actually renew our precepts, listen to Dhamma, straighten our views, have a lot of rejoicing through the Dhamma sharing. Then also we have radiated some form of metta while we meditate. So by the power of all this wholesomeness, merits and blessings may arise the causes and conditions for all of us to progress along the path of Dhamma successfully. And at the same time, may arise the causes and conditions for Christina's mother to have a better rebirth in the immediate future after her death. In whatever rhyme or existence she may be, may she be well and happy always. May the blessing of the Triple Gem too, if there is condition, be with her. And may this wholesomeness also pave the way for her to have a good hereafter life. Then we all should rejoice in this wholesomeness. We rejoice by saying sadhu 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Then after that, we will make, you all will make your aspiration. Sharing of merits to the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Ta vata cham ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampate siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merits accrue to a departed relative and to Christina's mother and also to all beings who has the condition to receive them. and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hito cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you will make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivanapatiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, present and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
Tomorrow.
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 I think it's like 8:30.